I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the 119th Psalm. We're going to begin with one verse out of this Psalm, 176 verses in the 119th Psalm, and we're going to deal with one verse, Psalm 130, verse 130 in Psalm 119. If you have your Bible open there. I don't think I need to tell you that we live in a world of darkness. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you something from God's Word that says that men by nature rebel against light. Think of that. And we live in a world of darkness, and this world has its own prince. The prince and power of this world is Satan. He's a prince of darkness. And God has created a place for him in the judgment of Satan to be cast into the lake of fire forever. And in another place in the book of Jude, the Bible calls that finishing of people who are unbelievers a place of the darkness forever, the blackness of darkness forever. And here we are in the world of darkness, and God wants us to know Him and wants us to have the light that He can provide to guide our lives. And in this wonderful psalm, in Psalm 119 and verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Let's read the verse again. Let's read it aloud, if you would, please. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Now, the entrance of the Word of God. God says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us spirit, soul, and body. In our spirit, the Lord lives if we've been born again. And with His presence, we have light and we have life when He comes to live in us. In our soul, we have intellect, emotion, and will. And it shouldn't travel that way. In other words, we should not make decisions purely based on emotion. We have intellect, emotion, and will. We think of things, is this true? Is this fact? Is this the way it really is? And remember that Satan's most dastardly work, the most wicked thing he does, is in deception. And the greatest deception he has is the thing that looks nearest to the truth. Remember this, Satan makes darkness look like light because he's the prince of darkness and he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. He can make the most attractive thing the world ever looks upon to be evil. They look upon evil and they find it to be the most attractive thing they've ever looked upon. And God is telling us here how to overcome that darkness, how to have the light. And we've been designed by the hand of God to be able to have the Word of God enter us, and the Bible says to bring us the things that only God's Word can bring us. Hold your place here, and let's look at a few of the great verses in this 119th Psalm. I'd like you to mark them. Verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Verse 63, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts." Again, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. Think of it. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 105, many of you have memorized, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 130 again. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You and I cannot live in this dark world without the things God's words provide. Light and understanding. What are you doing right now about the Word of God? What are you doing right now? Not what you hope to do, not what you have done, but what are you doing right now with the Word of God? I want you to hold your place here and turn back with me, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And the Lord gives us this amazing statement in Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to read that verse again. I want you to notice these turning points in this verse. Verse 8, Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You can't meditate in it if you don't know it, if you don't read it, if you don't memorize it. You can't be saturated with it in meditation without that. And that is so that, in order to, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We have been given God's word so we can observe to obey God's word. And as we obey God's word, for then, not until then, but then, after we observe it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The whole world is full of people wanting to be prosperous in some way. But God said that prosperity can only come by obedience to his word. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to be successful? Untold millions try to climb the ladder of success and leave God out. There's no way to leave God out and find success. We don't get success from planning and wishing. We get success from obeying God's word. And the Bible says, then thou shalt have good success. That's amazing, isn't it? I told you a moment ago, I was going to give you a Bible verse. I want you to look at it in Job chapter 24. It's a great book about wisdom. It's the oldest book in the Bible. And it properly is about wisdom, about knowing God and what God can do in our lives. And the Bible says of the natural man in this world, in verse 13 of chapter 24, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. God said to characterize this world, it's a world of rebels against the light. If they have given to them the light, they rebel against the light. Think of it. Just to rebel against light. Why? Because we're going to find that the Bible says they love darkness rather than light. Oh, may God help us. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament, to the gospel according to Matthew, just for a foundation for what we're trying to teach here. In Matthew, the Lord tells us of the coming of Jesus Christ to earth and why he came. You said, well, he came to bleed and die for our sin, yes. But God describes it in another way. I want you to see the way the Lord puts it for us in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. God says He sent His Son to bring us great light. Again, please, I want to show you what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, if your eye is what it ought to be, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now think of that. God wants you to have light. The only way to have light is by His word. And He says, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Most of our friends live in constant darkness. Not a physical darkness that we see them wandering around, banging against objects, and pity a blind person that way. But their whole body is full of darkness. Haven't you found yourself saying things like this? I wonder how in the world those people think they can get by with that. I wonder why they did that. I wonder why she said that. I wonder why they did that. Remember, most of the time you're talking about a person that's full of darkness. That's the natural state we come into this world with. And God wants us to be out of that darkness. The Word of God says in the Gospel according to John, if you'll turn there with me, when He begins the Gospel according to John, He tells us about this darkness. In verse 5 of chapter 1, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, could not get hold of it, could not take hold of it. The Bible says that Jesus is the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 9. You see, there's enough light in you with conscience and creation to know there's a God, to awaken you to the fact that you need Him. But how do you become a wise person, an understanding person, a person that makes right decisions? You must have the entrance of God's Word into your life. Listen to what the Lord says, summarizing mankind in the Gospel according to John. In chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They want to continue in a darkness, a spiritual darkness. That's why Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You cannot be delivered from that darkness without the new birth. The Word of God says, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, what does God say about being lost? You and I say being lost means that we've never been born again. We describe it as the unsaved condition. We're still in our sin. We've never been born again. But listen to how God describes it. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're children of the devil by nature. All of us were born children of the devil by nature. All of us. And in that spiritual sense, we were born blind, without God and without hope, apart from the Lord Jesus. Now think of that. But the Word of God, God gave us His Word. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, And verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have never yet realized how powerful God's word is. Never yet. What are you doing with the Bible? Are you reading it? Am I reading it? Are you memorizing parts of it? Just take the great verses from Psalm 119 that I gave you a moment ago that you may have marked already in your Bible and just begin to memorize those verses about God's word. Read and meditate on the 119th Psalm. It's about God's word. We must read the Bible. We must memorize the Bible. We must search the scriptures. God has placed in this book everything he wants us to know about him. Would you like to know God? The greatest discovery in life is to know God. The greatest knowledge is the knowledge of God. This is a book about God. All 66 books tell us about God. If you tore one of them out, we don't have the complete revelation God wants to give us about himself. What do you find out about God in each book of the Bible? We must search the scriptures. We must compare scripture with scripture. There's so many false religions, so many evil ideas, so much of a lie being propagated. And somebody can pick part of the Bible out, have it try to stand alone and prove anything they want to prove. But when we compare scripture with scripture and we understand this is truly what the Bible says, it does not contradict itself. This is God's word. And then we need to meditate on God's word. There's so many times in your life and my life that just a phrase or a word or a verse from the Bible get you over some great hump in life. God will lead you to passages that you can memorize and sound them back out to God. Claim his promises. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. So, what are we doing with the word of God? I want you to return to that verse with me, would you please? And I bring you to this. A great Bible teacher that I know of is now with the Lord. Said, when you read through the book of Proverbs, we're in the 119th Psalm, but when you read the book of Proverbs, you find three characters. Number one, you find a fool. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. Number two, you find a scorner. Person critical of the things of God and critical of God, critical of God's word, who is a rebel in his heart or her heart. And then the third person you find is a simple person. You and I hear that word and we think, that means I don't have any brains. But what we're really dealing with in the simple is a person who's not creased or folded, who's not warped in some way. A person who can be brought to the Lord, guided to God, can become wise. It's a good thing if somebody says you're simple in the Bible language. But what becomes of you? What becomes of me? Well, let's just take at face value what the Bible says. The entrance of thy words. The entrance of thy words. We have to know how to get God's word into us. Saturating through the eye gate, the ear gate, reading it, hearing it, hiding it in our hearts, all the things God tells us to do, it has to enter us. It will not enter us, though we read it and hear it, unless we're willing to obey it. If we're willing to obey, God will give us more and more and more. But he stops delivering to us where we stop obeying him. The entrance of thy word, number one, the Bible says, giveth light. giveth light. If you can imagine for a moment a person without sight, missing the beauty that you and I see and behold, the handiwork of our God, the smiles of pleasant people, the faces of babies, the communion with people that we love and having, seeing them, experiencing things with our sight because there's light. There's a world of spiritual light where God reveals things to us that we do not know and we're not aware of until His Word enters us and it makes us alive and lit up to the things of God. It giveth light. It giveth light. How many of you think about your life and you think, well, there are things now that I know about God, God's work, God's people, there are things I know about the Lord that I used to not know, and I've learned these things as I've walked with God and the Word of God has entered me. In other words, we're depriving ourselves and robbing ourselves of so much God wants us to have by not having God's Word enter us. To enter us. I say, when you're teaching and preaching the Bible, you're doing that by faith. I said to our young people, you can work as hard as you can work and study as diligently as you can possibly study. You can logically put together things you want to say. You can search the Scriptures and give people the Word of God. And then you give it out. And you trust by faith as you give it out that the Holy Spirit will apply it to people's lives. That God will do a work through His Word. My words can return void, but the Word of God says of itself it will not return void. I have that promise. But there's a sadness here. The sadness is that many of the people who appear to be hearers are dull of hearing, God says. Not ready to listen because they're not ready to receive the Word of God. It's as though I would say it bounces off you. It's noise to you. Sometimes it's worse than noise. It's disinteresting, not interesting. It has no appeal. You may blame the speaker for being a poor speaker, but if he's giving the Word of God, the Word of God given by God desires to enter your life. And as you enter it with the idea, I'm going to obey it, God gives you light. You're the loser as a hearer if you don't allow it to enter, if you don't receive it. We must get ourselves ready to receive it. Pray and seek God to receive it. Ask God to open us up and give us a heart of obedience so we can receive it. It's a simple thing to conclude that some people come to a meeting like this and get nothing. Other people come and they might say, my life was changed. The difference is whether or not we received it with the heart to obey it and got the light God gives from it about our lives. It gives light. Notice the second thing. And there are only these two things it says in this particular verse. It giveth understanding. Understanding. God says in the Proverbs, with all thy getting, get understanding. He tells us how to get wisdom. And then he says, we are to get understanding. Now remember, we're in a dark world. When a world where the prince and power of the air can transform himself into an angel of light and appear to be the good guy. We're in a world where evil can be made to be the most attractive thing you ever see and appealing to your flesh. That's the world in which we live. So why does God say He wants to give us understanding? I want you to turn with me back to the book of Job, to the 28th chapter, would you please? And God spells it out for us. The whole 28th chapter is about wisdom. And then you come to the end of the chapter, chapter 28 and verse 28. There's been a search for wisdom. And God tells us where we find it, and that's only in the Lord, in His Word. And in verse 28 of Job 28, the Bible says, "And unto man he saith, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." And I think we ought to stop and ask ourselves, what is our attitude toward God? What is our attitude toward God? Did we come before Him with reverence and wonder? Did we bow our heads to adore Him and worship Him? You say, "I'm just not there." Well, then you're living in darkness and without understanding. And may I say something that sounds so hard, but it needs to be said. You're going to do something so horribly bad because you don't have understanding. And people who have understanding are going to see you do that, and they're going to think, how in this world could you ever do something like that? But God says the entrance of His Word gives understanding. And here's what God says about understanding. "And unto man He said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." To depart. To say no to evil. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. There's not a parent alive, whether they explain it this way or not, that doesn't want their children to have understanding. There's not a dedicated wife who's married to a husband who doesn't want her husband to have understanding. There's not a husband who doesn't want his wife to have understanding. Because every beautiful thing thrown at you in life can be something wrong if you don't have understanding. But God gives light, and you see things for what they truly are, where they lead. You understand more of the consequences of this act. You know, I've been a pastor in the ministry for 51 years. I've been in the ministry for 21 years before I came here as a pastor, and I'll soon finish 30 years here, God willing, in July. Can you imagine how many people have said to me, like the man who was walking a picket line in Loudoun, Tennessee, so many years ago, who decided a woman there who was on strike with him had something to offer him that his wife didn't have to offer. And an idea led to the wrong action. While he was in darkness, hiding from God and from others, he committed an awful act that destroyed his home and his marriage. Just one example, I saw that man years after that, and he said, "Brother Sexton, do you know what I'd give to go back and not make the decision I made along that picket line in that tent alone that cost me what was precious and dear to me? But I can't do it now." I'm saying to you, God wants to give you light. He wants to light up your life. He wants to give you light. And He desires to give you understanding to know what truly is evil and how to depart from it. But you can't have either except by the Word of God. It may get to be a habit just in the beginning, just to read the Bible. You may be struck by things the Bible says. You may have some obligation you have to fulfill because you promised somebody you'd do it. But remember, this is a living book about God. I don't know any other way to say it. God somewhere will reach out and get a hold of your heart through His Word. The entrance of the Word of God giveth light and understanding to the simple. The simple could be affected by a scorner or by a fool. But the simple can be made wise. And the simple can gain understanding. Which way? Which way? The only way for the wisdom and understanding is by the way of the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer, may we?